Every believer here will be aware that regarding the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and what happens before and after that, there are very many different opinions. And sometimes good people can fall out over that, and tonight we're not going to do that. But we're all going to agree this evening that the Lord Jesus is coming again. And there is a people on earth who have always been special to the Lord, and that is the children of Israel. And many people believe that there are great days ahead yet for that nation. Everywhere you turn in the world, there is anti-Semitic sentiment and sometimes terrible violent behavior towards people who are Jews. And if you know anything, and of course you do, of their history over these past generations, you will know that as a nation, they have really been through the mill. But it is amazing when you listen to those who are in touch with them, how Jews are returning to Israel and how things are shaping up just the way the Bible says they would shape up. The wickedness and the wickedest of men cannot halt the purpose of God. He is sovereign in these things, and his purpose and his promise regarding Israel, we believe, will be carried out. It says there in that verse 12, I will extend peace to her like a river. And it says again down on the end of verse 13, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Great words to bear in mind tonight, even as you do think of Jerusalem. But when you look there in verse 12, and it says, I will extend peace to her like a river. The word peace is a word that is translated through the Bible from different words. And on this occasion, the word peace means all good. I will extend all good to her like a river. And while these may be words that you would want to hang on to if you're a friend of Israel, they certainly are words in verse 12 that have a message for all of us tonight. When we read there, I will extend peace to her like a river. We think of the church and what Christ has done for his people. Some years ago, I think it was 2012, my brother and I were up just for 2.5 days, about 10 miles from Granton-on-Spey in the Scottish Highlands. And where our bed and breakfast was, we could have went out to the main road to go up to where we were to meet other people that we were going to be with, but we took the back roads because of the beauty and the scenery. And it really was outstanding just driving up to Granton-on-Spey. But just beyond Granton-on-Spey, there was a place that was not very far from the River Spey itself. And we pulled the car in there at a time and got out, and there was no proper sun seats to sit on, summer seats to sit on. But sitting down on the grass, having brought our lunch with us and walked on down toward where the river was, there wasn't a soul near us. And there wasn't any noise either where we were. And sitting there looking at the River Spey, how peaceful it was. I'm going to mention the River Spey just a little bit later on as well, but thinking here of the river that is mentioned here and the peace that is mentioned here, and thinking of that experience that we had in 2012, I want tonight to speak to you about a riverside seat. A riverside seat. Maybe some of you have been beside a river and you know something of what I've just been saying here this evening. So as we consider this text I will extend peace to her like a river. We want in our minds to go to the riverside and to sit down as we did, looking out, away even from the noise of the road, and looking out across the River Spey. And as you look at the river, I want to think, first of all, of tracing its beginning. Tracing its beginning. I mentioned to you that we were meeting folk at Granton-on-Spey. Well, if you follow the river up from Granton-on-Spey, and you go up to a place called Aviemore, and then up to Kincusie, or Goosey, and then from there up to Laggan, and then from there right up to a place where not too many people go to, called Carriarrach Forest, up in the Scottish Highlands, away in the middle of nowhere. It is there that the River Spey begins. It's just a little stream. And that is the beginning of the River Spey, in a place that is hidden, and in many ways, to many people, it is inaccessible. And doesn't that remind us of the beginning of peace, where it comes from? Just as the beautiful River Spey at Granton-on-Spey begins with just a little trickle up there in the woods, 10 miles south of or so of Fort Augusta. So the peace of God, men and women, begins with himself. It comes from him. One of the most beautiful passages in all of the Bible concerning this great peace that he gives to his people is found in the Song of Solomon and chapter 4. You would need to take a few moments reading it at home, where in verse 12 of chapter 4, the church is referred to as a garden enclosed. And again in the beginning of chapter 5, referred to there as a garden as well. But it will suffice us tonight to look here at verse 12, where it says, "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed." So there is that fountain there, or that water system that is there. And it's talking here about the church and referring to the presence of the Lord. If you look in verse 15, it says, "A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters." And men and women, as you and I think of that peace which is so important to us, and we think of those in our family connections that are not saved, they will never have this peace if they stop short of getting to the one who is the source of peace. In the Psalms, in Psalm 46, Martin Luther, he wasn't being selfish, but he said this was his psalm. He used to sing it when they were in dire straits and in great trouble. And you will know the psalm from hearing it perhaps read on occasions when someone has passed away, and on other occasions as well. But there is a verse that stands out as one of tremendous comfort to God's people. It says there in verse 4, "There is a river." Remember, it's the river we're looking at tonight now. "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God." The word "glad" there means to be greatly affected with delight. Now read the verses around this one. And you will see that it talks there about the waters roaring and being troubled, and even the mountains shaking. And there being trouble in verse 1. But God, verse 5, is in the midst of her. But he's not just there as a bystander. He is the one who can bring great gladness to her heart, to the church's heart, because that's what we're looking at here. There is a river. The word "river" there is a word that is not very often translated "river." It is the word "nehar," which means perennial. It never dries up, never runs low. And so it is with the Lord meeting the need of his people. Way back in 1858, from about that time or so, from 1858 or so up until about 1870 or so. Now, the Lord still worked after that, but during those years, about a dozen years or so, in Germany and in the United States and here where we live as well, the Lord worked in a most remarkable way. And many tens of thousands of precious souls found peace with God. They found peace with God. But if you go back before that, there were those who, even before Martin Luther knew anything about the Reformation, who were praying that God's hand would move on behalf of his people. They lived and died hoping and expecting that there would be a better day. And men and women, that better day came in the Reformation times. And there's been difficult times since, and revival has come since that again. And then we're back where we are now. And Christian, tonight, you can pray on that God will send that better day in his own time. But I want to ask you, unsaved person, tonight. We're looking here at a seat by a river. And you can picture yourself there. And you're thinking of its beginning. I mentioned where it was, up in Corrie Arach Forest, up in the Scottish Highlands. That's where the Spey has its source. And tonight, if you want peace, you will need to get to Christ. You will need to get to him. Over there in the book of Zechariah, just want to read you what it says in Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. In that day, if you read chapter 12 here, you will see that constantly the Lord is referring to in that day. And in chapter 13, he says again, in that day, there shall be a fountain opened in the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And the word uncleanness there, yes, it means those who are unclean, but it means separation. If you want to be separated unto God tonight, you will have to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is an invitation for you. In fact, there are many invitations in the Bible. And over there in Revelation chapter 21, it says there in the verse 6, it says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. You see, no matter what way you look at it, whether it's referred to as a fountain or a spring or a river, we're bringing you attention tonight to the Lord, who is the only one who can give you peace. The only one who can give you peace. Over in Revelation 22, it says there in verse 17, the last invitation in all of the Bible, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth come, say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There's an invitation. It's an invitation for you personally, but you need to come. You need to consciously come to Christ. But there's not only an invitation here, there is an incentive, because it says, let him take of the water of life freely, without money and without price. So as far as fitness is concerned, or achievement is concerned, you can forget about that. You just need to come. But there's not only invitation and incentive. I want you to notice the importance here, because it says, let him that is athirst come. That's what it says in verse 17. And it also says in Isaiah 55 and 1 about those who thirst. And the sad fact tonight is that men and women live knowing about this thirst, and they pass away with this thirst. But that does not have to be the way tonight. As you and I are seated by the river, seat by the riverside, and we think here of the tracing, I mentioned the River Spey. We're looking at peace that our text talks about tonight. If you want that peace, it can be yours tonight. But right at this moment, responsibility lies with you to turn from your sin. There is the tracing of the beginning of the river, but secondly, I thought of the testing of the river's characteristics. I like sitting looking at rivers. Yes, I do fish sometimes, but apart from that, I do like to be there and watch the wildlife that may be around there and just watch the river itself. And there's one thing for sure about the River Spey. It is alive. It is not dead or stagnant, but it's something which, as you look at it and you see it's moving, it is alive. And the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river. And certainly the thought came to me, that peace will mean life, or will be accompanied by life. And people don't like being told that they're dead. But the Bible assures us all that there's not one spark of life in any of us. The psalmist there in the Psalm 36 said at the beginning of the psalm, there is no fear of God before his eyes. That is the wicked. And it's so sad tonight. No fear of God. That's how prevalent that kind of situation is. But it says here in verse 9, this is the psalmist speaking, for with thee is the fountain of life. There you have that reference again. And when you look here at what the Lord provides, with thee is the fountain of life. Remember, we're thinking of the river now as something that is alive. You will think that, you'll see here that when you come to Christ, you will have the very best assurance. Look at verse, and I want to encourage you tonight, unsaved. Verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And this is one of these occasions where the fatness refers to the best of something. Like when you have the prodigal's father saying, bring hither the fatted calf. They were all fat. They were all good cattle, I'm sure. But this was the best one. Pick out the choice one. The very best one. And the Lord says, if they come to the fountain of life here, they will have the best assurance. They will not only have the best assurance, we will have the best comfort, we will have the best help, and we will have the best hope. And it says there again, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. And I asked you the question tonight, have you found this new life in him? The river is alive. We're here testing its characteristics. Certainly the River Spey was alive. And Jesus Christ tonight is very much alive. But not only was it alive, while there were the little bits of shallow that were running over rocks, and you could see that, there were deep pools. And certainly in other parts of the Spey, there are hardly any runny parts. It is nearly all deep. And that reminds us that this peace that we were looking at tonight, he will extend peace to them like a river. It's not some kind of superficial thing. It's something that is real and substantial and lasting. Something you can have. The world talks about a peace, but the world really can't give peace. People can give you encouragement. There are trained people who can give you a certain degree of contentment. But if you want real deep peace, you only find it with God, and it's called a peace that passeth all understanding. A peace that passeth all understanding. The world can't give it, and we're all glad tonight that the world can't stop it either. Every Christian has got it. I wonder, would you not like this peace like a river? Testing the river's characteristics, it is alive, it is deep, but it is enriching. It is enriching. When you think of the first psalm, psalm number 1, says Psalm of the Blessed Man. It says in verse 3 concerning the blessed man, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Planted by the rivers of water. Here is his description. He's like a tree, and the thought behind that word is stability. The thought of stability, and not only stability, but nobility. That's what happens when you be saved, when you come to the Lord. You're made stable and you're made noble in him. That's the description of the blessed man. But then there's the drawing of the blessed man. He says he's planted by the rivers of water. That which is planted beside the river never parches, because it's able to get its need met continually in the river. So it is when you come to the Lord. If that's your fear tonight, you can put it aside. Because if he takes you and saves you, he will be able to meet your need. There's a description here of the blessed man. He's like the tree. There's his drawing. He's beside the rivers of water. But there's his delivery. And it says, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Wouldn't it be great to spend the rest of our days doing something that we know is really worthwhile? Not asking if many people seem to listen to you or not, but knowing that you're living for God. There's not only delivering, there is here the thought of defiance. For let's look again in that verse 3. It says, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither. Or the word means fade. Now that is not a natural thing. Leaves do fade in the autumn time, and so do we. But if you come tonight and trust the Lord, you can be like this, you can be this blessed man. And in whatever the world throws at you, you can know for sure that as far as your salvation is concerned, it is intact. It is intact. So we think here of the testing of its characteristics. Things that we certainly noticed at the River Spey. It is alive, it is deep, it is enriching, because all around it there's signs of progress. Psalm 1 says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But let's look again as we go back to our seat at the side of the river. There is the thought of trusting its strength. Rivers are very useful. In fact, rivers are burden bearers. And I have to say, not on the Spey on that occasion, but on other rivers, I have seen barges and sometimes seen supply boats, and I don't know how the river ever managed to hold them up, but they did. The river kept them buoyant. And men and women, these have been a couple of difficult years. And I want to say something tonight kindly, but it's true, and you'll understand what I'm saying. When there is any stress or any issue or worry or frustration, very, very often, the first thing to go is God's house. Meetings are the first to go. An hour on a Sunday. Can't do it. But if men and women, and I'm talking tonight to those who love the Lord, in health or in ill health, the Lord will give us grace. When we're worried about our families, we know that he is there with us. When we are affected by frustration, we know that he's working out a plan. When disappointment comes, we know that he's got another plan. And we cast our care upon him, believing that he cares for us. Do take encouragement from that Christian. In these difficult days, there's nothing at all to be gained from giving the meetings a pass. Want to be in the place where God's honour dwells, trusting in his strength. An unsafe person, you may feel very weak and very unworthy, and I say respectfully tonight, that's exactly where you are. But if you will cast yourself upon him, however far down you are, the Lord is able to lift you and support you. And it's just as sometimes when you look at the ships, even, the Suez Canal perhaps, and you realize just the weight that they are. You wonder, how does that river ever support them? It does. It does support them. And maybe tonight you're thinking of sin and struggles, and you wonder, how could God ever help me with that? Well, he's able to do it. He's able to do it tonight if you will come and put your peace. Remember, we mentioned earlier the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Whether it is in a health situation or with family or with frustration or disappointment or discouragement, whatever the case may be, that peace which passeth all understanding will see you through. It will see you through. So we're still on the bank of the river tonight, trusting in the strength of one final thought here, and it is this: touched by its beauty. I can still remember the River Spey. It was 10 years ago. this year in August. For me, was there, and it was beautiful, lovely place. John MacDonald agrees with me. Of course, he thinks all the rivers in Scotland are lovely. Beautiful, beautiful place to sit there and to watch the river. Look at verse 12. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. The thought there is of that which is beautiful. And very often, the bank of a river is a very, very beautiful place. And you can't be touched by its presence. I wonder tonight, just as you would go along perhaps to a river and sit there and just for a little time of feeling peace and comfort and just to enjoy the beauty, to try to relax there, regarding your spiritual need, would you not think of turning to the Lord to behold his beauty, to look upon him who gave himself on the cross for us? A couple of years ago, there were two people who had been through trial, and they were on the River Ban, sitting down just looking at the river, enjoying the peaceful and the tranquility of the situation. And they met another man, and he'd been through a trial. He'd been through more than one. I know all three of them. And they didn't know each other at the time, but they got talking. And then they realized that they were both there for similar reasons. They were there to look at the beauty that was around them. And they were touched by that beauty, and it helped them. And men and women, in closing tonight, you need to behold him, to look to him. We're thinking here this evening of a riverside saint. And as you think of that river and you think of what we read in our text tonight, I will extend peace to her like a river. This is all that God can do for you. No one else can do it. Preachers can't do it. Far more capable preachers and well-known preachers than me, they can't do anything for you. But God can do it. I trust tonight, as you've listened to the word, wherever you are, the Lord will bless his word to your heart in this very evening, that you will find this peace that we've been looking at tonight, and that you will know from this day on the peace of God and peace with God as well.